I have one more admission here, Robin Hilliard.
Okay. All right, we'll call the order of the meeting for the Council of Ethics Standards and Training Board is of June 8th of 2023. If we can all believe it, we're already in June. Thank you for attending today. Ms. Unmock, could you do roll call, please?
Certainly. Okay, all of our board members are attending via the Zoom call today. Chairman Dennis Dowling, Constable Michael Hogard, Matt Giordano, Constable Mahogany Kennedy, Christine Shipley, and Valerie Beckett. I'm Tracy Unmock, the administrator. We have our investigator, Steve Jacobs, in the room. And members of the public on the line, I have Constables Roland, Lake, Wallace, Lathan, Robin Hilliard, Terry Johnson, and Patrice Goodman. And Scott Davis just joined us. And I had another caller ending in 4524 who just joined us as well.
If you're okay to take a minute and inquire of who it is so you can put it up, Ms. Unmock.
Yes, 4524 phone caller. Could you please tell me who you are?
This is Danielle Morris with Arizona County's Insurance Pool.
Okay, thank you. What you said your name was what?
Danielle Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S.
Got it. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you. All right.
All right, thank you, everybody. Let's begin by asking if anybody has any announcements they would like to make this morning. Okay, hearing none, let's move on to item C, and that is the possible action to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Hopefully everybody did have a chance to go over those. Do we have any motions on the minutes?
Mr. Chairman, Constable Hogard, I make a motion to accept the minutes as written.
Thank you, sir.
Do we have a second? Constable Kennedy, second.
Okay. Any discussion on the minutes? Okay, hearing none. Everybody in favor of approving the minutes, please vote in the affirmative.
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody in the negative? Okay, minutes are approved. Thank you. And we'll move on to the call to the public. And this is the time that we do have set for the public to make oral comments to the board. Please note the written statements that are submitted to the board will not be read during the call to the public, and they are not accepted as part of the official meeting record. Also, any members of the board may not discuss items that are not already listed on the written agenda. Therefore, unless the comment relates only to an item already listed on the written agenda for the meeting, pursuant to statute, the board's ability to act on that public comment will be limited to directing staff to study the matter, responding to any criticism, or scheduling the matter for further consideration and decision at a later date. Finally, please note that the total time allotted is 2 minutes, so this meeting can be conducted as scheduled. Would anybody in the public like to speak today? Okay, second call. Anybody in the public like to address the board?
Mr. Chairman, this is a Constable Roland, Pima County Justice Precinct 1.
Yes, sir. Give me 1 second so I can get my timer going. And sir, you do have 2 minutes, please.
Thank you, sir. I'm calling in today regarding agenda item H for Bravo, CNA 344-2023, Victor Alvarado v. Constable Daniel Roland. I am aware of the situation. And I just wanted to kind of make a quick statement in regards to that. I did not use my emergency equipment during the incident. I did not impede the flow of traffic. I did not box the individual in, nor did I get out of the car or threaten any type of punitive actions against said individual. Again, I am aware of the issue. I specifically remember the issue. However, I don't believe that anything was done outside of the training that I have been afforded at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, this is Matt. Since he's made a comment, can we ask a question since we have him on the line, or is that out of bounds?
Without getting any advice, I believe that would be out of bounds to do that. I think most of this would be covered in the investigative process through Mr. Jacobs rather than doing that response at this juncture. Do you agree with that, Mr. Giordano?
No complaints. I was just curious. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. And I'm always open to have that discussion if we do need to have it.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public like to speak today?
I would. Yeah. This is Constable Karen Lathan.
Okay, hold on a second, Constable Lathan. Okay, I'm going to start your timer now. You may speak. Please say your name first.
Constable Karen Lathan.
Thank you.
I have my lawyer who called in, and she's still stuck in the waiting room. If you could allow her in, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. I missed that. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Is that the entirety of your comment, Ms. Lathan?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Elmock, could you score that away then?
Yes. Can you please identify yourself? This is Tracy with the Ethics Board. I understand you're Constable Lathan's attorney.
Yes, thank you. For record, this is Attorney Julie Gonigal.
Gonigal?
That's right, Gunnigle.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Unmock. Anybody else in the public like to make comment today?
Yeah, this is Constable Lake, presiding Constable of Alameda County.
Okay, sir. So I'm going to start your timer. Please just repeat your name for me before you start.
Constable Bill Lake, right?
Okay. Thank you, sir.
This is in reference to Constable Roland, CNA 344-2023. I would just like to point out that Constable Roland's vehicle does not have any coded equipment on it. So he does not have lights. He does not have a siren. He has no cage. He has no capability to conduct a traffic stop. Mr. Roland has explained to me that when he witnessed someone driving erratically, that he rolled down his window and attempted to talk to him, just as any other concerned citizen would have done. When that person pulled into the Circle K or the gas station, Constable Roland pulled up next to him, never got out of his vehicle, rolled down the window and just said, hey, you know, do me a favor and slow down and, you know, drive a little bit safer, please. So with that in mind, I don't think that Constable Roland did anything outside of his duties as a constable that any other concerned citizen wouldn't have done at the same time.
Is that it, sir?
That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Does anybody else in the public like to make comment today? Okay, one more call to the public. Anybody like to make comments? Thank you. We'll move on to item E. Ms. Soma, could you present the financial report, please?
Yes, I will. All right. The first page of your report that you received before the meeting, the revenue for the year through April, the total revenue is $358,810, which is an average of $35,881 a month. And that's higher than budgeted last year for fiscal year 23, about $4,800, and a little bit higher than what we based our 24 budget on as well, by $700 a month. Second page is the general expenses throughout the fiscal year by month through April. Total expenses in April, $28,228, basically. If you look at the third page, which is the detail of what was paid out and recorded as paid out for the month of April, we had investigator payments in total of $28,907, admin. We also had some grants for Pima County, Coconino County. Those actually were paid out. And then the third quarter, Central Services Bureau $750 fee was also paid out in April. If you go to the cash flow report, the projected revenue based on budget and what we've already experienced this year, almost $421,000 is the projected revenue. The projections in blue for admin include the admin and some additional claims that have been submitted for the investigator. And so with those claims submitted, we will have paid through 523. That leaves in the adjustment column for from 523 to the end of the fiscal year, a little over $5,400 left in our budget for the investigator. There's a couple months left that we had budgeted travel. Those are the $500 a month projections there. As far as grants go, we've submitted some here in May. We'll have submitted some grants in the total of $68,877. In June, we'll have another grant submitted in June for $1,571. That's for Yavapai's tasers. And then there's additional contracted but not yet paid of $85,752, which is what you see in the adjustment column. So with all those projections, the ending cash then would be $711,564. And that's just, I think, $350 short of what we based our fiscal year budget that we approved last month. The last page obviously is the grant summary, and it just shows those outstanding $85,000 in grants. It breaks it out by cycle where those dollars have not yet been submitted for claims for processing. With that, I'll entertain any questions.
Hey, thank you, Ms. Unmock. Anybody have questions for Ms. Unmock? Hearing none, do I have anybody moving to approve the report?
This is Christine.
Ms. Shipley first, Ms. Beckett second. Did I get that right?
Sounds fine to me.
All right. Thank you. Any further discussion? All right. All those in favor of approving the report, please vote in the affirmative.
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody in the negative? Okay, hearing none, the report is approved. Okay, moving on to item G, and that's a status update on the complaints regarding Mr. Rucker and Mr. Perkins.
Excuse me, Chairman. We had item F, the board meeting schedule.
Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you.
We do have July is open per last month's discussion about when we wanted to schedule that.
Right. No, thank you, Ms. Unmacht. I do appreciate it. Okay, so getting my alphabet correct, we're going to go to item F. And that's for the presentation on the draft board meeting schedule for fiscal year 2024. So regarding that, we did have a thought at the last meeting to do something that went in conjunction with the ACA conference coming up in July. After speaking to President Blake with the ACA, I don't believe that we will be able to make any accommodation for being able to do that in the Flagstaff setting, just due to logistics of it and timing of the classes that they do have occurring at that time. So that would not be something that we would still be considering. However, Constable Blake did mention that the January meeting, he mentioned at a new location, I'm not aware of where that location is yet, that it may be conducive at that time when they do their January meeting on that. So we could discuss that when we do get to that point. But thank you, Ms. Unmock, for putting this paper together regarding the schedule. Do we have any discussion or anything on the schedule anybody would like to talk about? Okay. So everybody that would be in favor of keeping this, anybody in favor of keeping the schedule, please put a motion forward.
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard, I make a motion that we take the schedule as printed.
Thank you, sir.
Second? This is Shipley. I second.
Thank you, Ms. Shipley. So we have first and a second. Any further discussion regarding the schedule? Hearing none, I do assume that it does work for everybody. So all those in favor of approving the schedule, please vote in the affirmative.
Aye.
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 Anybody in the negative? Okay, so we have a schedule for next year. Thank you, Ms. Unmock, for putting that together for us. Okay, so now we can move on to item G, and that is just a status update on the complaints regarding Mr. Rucker, Mr. Clark, and Mr. Perkins. We haven't moved anywhere regarding that as far as any additional information. So the update that I would give today is that there will be a future update. One thing I will do differently in the future is I will only put this on the agenda quarterly unless there is a resolution for this investigation. But I do want to put out there, does anybody have any discussion regarding that, whether they agree that or not, that is the appropriate way to handle this matter moving forward? Thank you, everybody. So in that event, we can move on to item H, and that is discussion and possible action on constable complaints. The first one we have is CNA 332-2023, and that is Terry Johnson versus Constable David Lester. And hopefully everybody did have a chance to review the report that was prepared by Mr. Jacobs for us on this matter. Do we have anybody on the board that would like to take any action or discussion on this matter?
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard.
Yes, sir.
I've read the report, and at this time, my feeling is just dismiss.
Okay, so we do have a motion to dismiss. Anybody else?
This is Christine Shipley. I would second that motion to dismiss.
Okay, so we do have a motion for a dismissal on this, first by Constable Hogard, second by Ms. Shipley. Do we have any further discussion on this?
This is Terry Johnson.
I'm sorry, sir, you do not have the floor right now. So thank you, sir. Anything further from board members? Okay, hearing none, Ms. Unmacht, if you could go to roll call.
Certainly. Vice Chair Hogard?
Aye.
Matt Giordano?
Aye.
Christine Shipley?
Aye.
Valerie Beckett?
Aye.
And Mahogany Kennedy?
Aye.
Okay, motion in. And I'm, for the record, you're abstaining, Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to item two, and that's CNA 337-2023, Nathan Wallace versus Constable Karen Lathan. So put it out to the board. If anybody has any movement on this, please let me know. And just Mr. Jacobs is here if anybody does have any questions regarding his report.
Mr. Chairman, Constable Hogard.
Yes, sir.
Looking at this, I don't know if Maricopa County is going to do anything with it. But technically, she should have reported it and stayed on scene till somebody took action on it. I would issue a warning or an admonishment that so this doesn't happen in the future. I don't know if there's been other complaints or not.
Just to be clear, sir, warning or admonishment, which are you putting out there?
A warning.
Mr. Chair, this is Valerie Beckett.
Yes, ma'am.
I would also like to wrap up the whole issue of parking in a handicapped spot without the proper notification or legal right to do so.
just to clarify, are you seconding the warning for parking in the spot?
I believe both matters should be included in a warning letter, yes.
But you are clarifying the handicap portion of it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we do have a first and a second for a warning letter on this matter. Do we have any further discussion to have on this? Okay. Hearing none, Ms. Unmacht?
Hey, Constable Hogard.
Aye.
Matt Giordano?
Nay.
Okay, Christine Shipley?
Aye.
Valerie Beckett?
Aye.
Mahogany Kennedy?
Aye.
And the chairman abstaining?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, motion passes 1, 2, 3, 4 to 1 with the chairman abstaining.
We have CNA 338-2023, and my apologies for mispronouncing this. Breezy Von Ronnie versus Constable Mike Sloan. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs, once again for the report to help us tidy this up, including the response in this matter. So any members on the board, any thoughts or motions to put out?
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard.
Yes, sir.
The constable, in his statement here, he admitted that he made a poor decision in thinking, and he also says that he accepts full responsibility for his actions and consequences. This is not the first, you know, we've had a few of these with the no trespassing. I would make a motion that a warning be issued. He did acknowledge that he made a poor decision, and he is accepting any the responsibility for his actions and consequences. At this time, I would say issue a warning to him that this doesn't happen in the future.
Thank you, sir. We do have a first for a warning. Do we have a second?
This is Shipley. I would second that.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Shipley. We do have a first and a second. I'll call for any further discussion, and I will make 2 points on it. I do agree with Constable Hogard that the response was appreciated from Constable Sloan on this. And this has been this has come up a few times for us this year. So I will be sure to, if I'm part of the training as far as the ethics board at the next conference, this is definitely a topic that I will raise during the training to give everybody an awareness. Moving forward on some of the actions the board has taken and open their discussion for it too to see what they think. I heard somebody there. Was there more discussion? Okay, hearing none, we do have the motion for the warning letter to Constable Sloan. Ms. Unmacht.
Constable Hogard.
Aye.
Matt Giordano.
Aye.
Christine Shipley.
Aye.
Valerie Beckett.
Aye.
Constable Kennedy.
Aye.
And Chairman abstaining for the record.
Yes.
Okay, that motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Ms. Unlock. But then we have the initial screening of new complaints. The first one we have is CNA 340-2023. And just the common reminder, in order for the complaint to be moved forward on this, that would just take one vote on this. If we do have that one vote, then we will continue to the roll call just to get the tally of the board. So hopefully everybody did have a chance to review that initial report from Mr. Jacobs on that. So is there anybody who would like to move this matter forward?
Mr. Chairman, this is Matt. I would, the constable, and I believe the presiding constable down there provided some information but didn't answer all of the complainant's concerns. So I would like to move this forward.
Okay, so we do have Matt Giordano moving this matter forward. So it will be moving forward. Is there any further discussion before we do the roll call on this? Hearing none, Ms. Unmacht.
Okay, Constable Hogard.
Aye.
Christine Shipley. Christine, Ms. Shipley.
Sorry, nay.
Okay, Valerie Beckett.
Nay.
And Constable Kennedy?
Nay.
Nay? Okay. And Chairman Dowling is abstaining. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
For the record, we do have the vote, but it will move forward since one constable or one board member wanted it to move forward.
Oh, thank you for beating me to that, Ms. Unmarked. I appreciate it.
Sorry. Don't want to steal your thunder.
Just fine. I'm glad I keep going through that each time. We all understand the process, but I want to make sure that the public understands the process also. Okay. Second, we have a CNA 3442023. It's Mr. Victor Alvarado is the complainant, and the constable is Daniel Rowland. So once again, same ground rules. If one person would like to move it forward, then it will be moved forward for investigation. But we will take the roll call to see to get the board's opinion on it. So would anybody like to move this matter forward?
Mr. Chairman, this is Matt. I am horribly sorry, but I had my initial screening complaints backwards. So I need to go back if we can correct the record, if that's okay.
Yes, we'll go back. I understand what you're saying. So let's before we get to this one, then let's go back to 3402023. Mr. Gerano, you were the sole vote to move that one forward. Would you like to clarify?
I would. I had those reversed. So yeah, in CNA 340-2023, I do not want to move that forward. I apologize for my mistake.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And just for clarification, Ms. Omak, that means there are no votes to move that matter forward, correct?
I believe I recorded, unless it was incorrect, that I recorded Constable Hogard wanted to move it forward.
No.
Did I incorrectly record that?
Well, I may be in the same boat as Matt, because I think I was looking at one of the other ones.
Constable Hogard, I apologize. You're in bad company, my friend.
No, I'm in good company.
All right.
I think I was looking at, I'd made notes, and I just looked at the top of it.
So we're talking, we went back to the three.
In fact, there's my notes I made on this one is dismissed. So no, I was looking at one of the other ones.
Okay. Sorry. So on 3402023, William Rucker versus Nathan Wallace, you do not want to move that forward, correct?
No, I even wrote on my thing, dismiss.
Okay.
All right, about that.
Oh, you're making me think I'm misstating something here since the way this is working out. But given that, so Ms. Elmack, do we have anybody that voted to move forward on the Wallace complaint?
I have recorded no's on moving forward on this one for everyone.
Okay. Given that, let me go back to the actually. Let's do one more roll call, please, on the Rucker versus Wallace, Ms. Elmack.
Okay. Okay, just to clarify, we are not going to move this forward. We're voting to move forward. Hogard is no.
No.
Matt Giordano?
No, with a sincere apology.
Okay. Christine Shipley?
No.
Valerie Beckett?
No.
And Constable Kennedy?
No.
Okay, and Chairman abstains. So the remaining board members vote to not move 3-4-0 forward.
So the 3402023 is dismissed. So now let's move on to CNA 3442023, and that's the Victor Alvarado versus Constable Daniel Rowland. So just to start over on that one, is there anybody on the board who would like to move that matter forward?
This is Shipley, and I would want to move the matter forward.
Thank you, Ms. Shipley. So we do have the vote to move that forward. Do we need to have any discussion prior to taking the roll call vote on that? Anybody like to make a comment? Okay, hearing none, Ms. Unmocked.
Okay, Constable Hogard.
I'll move it forward.
Okay, and Matt Giordano?
Aye.
Christine Shipley is an aye. Valerie Beckett?
Aye.
And Constable Kennedy?
Aye.
And Chairman Dowling's abstaining for the record?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's move on to I then. That's presentation, discussion, and possible action on review and updating the rules of operation. And this will be by Mr. Jacobs. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs, for the work that you have put into this to give us this draft today to see where the board if they have any questions for you at this juncture. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Mr. Jacobs.
I'm going to do that.
to aid myself with the development of these proposed rules, I did some research to better understand this board's history, the board's authority and legislative mandates. According to records found in the Arizona State Library archives and public records, in 2001, the legislature established a 9-member Constable Ethics Committee and delineated its responsibilities, which including adopting a code of conduct and investigating complaints. In 2006, the legislature modified the membership of the Constable Ethics Committee and established the Constable Ethics Committee Fund. In 2007, the legislature replaced the Constable Ethics Committee with the Constable Ethics Standards and Training Board. And in 2016, the legislature modified membership of the Constable Ethics Standards and Training Board and required the board to adopt standardized daily activity log for constables, expanded the board's authority to take disciplinary action or suspend a constable, allows the board to refer investigations of criminal acts to the county attorney's office, and allows the constable to seek judicial review of a final order. Also in the state archives, it says the Constable Ethics Standards and Training Board is required to adopt and enforce a code of conduct for constables, establish procedures to conduct confidential investigations and hold hearings, investigate written complaints regarding a constable's ethical conduct, remedy a constable's inappropriate behavior, and adopt a standardized daily activity log as approved by the AZ Post director. Of special interest in the changes by the legislature in 2016, which empowers the board to conduct hearings, take disciplinary action against a constable, this opens the board's decisions to discipline to judicial review by the Superior Court. I'm only aware of one occasion in the past where a constable who has received discipline requested judicial review, and that actually happened prior to the board given its authority to conduct hearings and impose discipline. This came from a 2004 appeal by a constable who had been disciplined by the presiding justice after a complaint had been provided to that justice by the ethics constable ethics committee. Although this happened outside the board, it does reviewing the appellate review process did provide quite a bit of information as it relates to what the rules, I believe, should look like. The main thing to take away from that was the appellate court found that the constable had the right to be heard. What does that mean? Typically, it means that a constable has the right to submit evidence, has a right to provide testimony, has a right to cross-examine the complainant and any witnesses that are involved in the matter. Therefore, a full due process proceeding. And this is the gist of the major changes that have been proposed in the rules. If you look at the rules, the proposed changes consist of the following. In section 101, there's the addition of definitions for allowing the distinction between a day and a business day in terms applicable to the process leading to discipline. In section 103, specifically paragraph 6, it provides clarification for ensuring the work performed by a deputy constable is documented on an activity log. Section 201 codifies the procedures currently being followed by the board as it relates to determining if a complaint is jurisdictional to the board and provides for the confidentiality of a complaint until after board takes final disposition. Section 202 further codifies the procedures being followed by the board in processing complaints and allows time for the board to have the matter investigated during each stage of the process prior to being placed on the board meeting agenda. Section 203 provides procedures to be followed by the board to conduct a hearing. The board actually has two options. The board can contract with the Arizona Office of Administrative Hearings, OAA, who will assign administrative law judge and follow OAA procedures and to conduct the hearing and provide the board with a finding of fact and conclusion of law. Or the board may choose to conduct the hearing as a body. And it's if that choice is made, then the rules have now included the process to conduct that hearing. Subsequent sections of the existing rules remained unchanged. Are there any questions or any input? I'm looking for any input from the board and staff as it relates to these rules to make sure that they function for everybody. And I hope to have these ready to be reviewed by the legal staff and back to the board for possible adoption at its our submission to GERC, the Governance Regulatory Enforcement Committee, or Rules Committee for approval in July. Are there any questions?
Quite a bit to take in there with what you've done. I appreciate that, Mr. Jacobs, for you putting the work into this. So this is a preliminary. This is where you're at right now, and you're getting the feedback from the board, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Jacobs or any comments for him?
Mr. Chair, this is Matt. I think a lot of the suggestions that Mr. Jacobs make are long overdue and just makes us more of a professional board. But my question to him is, Steve, we would still need to go through a consultant to actually write the verbiage before we were ready to submit it into GERC, correct?
I would recommend that. I am not a rules writer, and I do think that they this is a framework, I believe, but they probably should be honed before going to GERC for review to make sure that they meet rule standards.
Mr. Chairman, based on that, I'd make a motion that we approve moving forward with contracting with a rulemaking expert. I know we've used Jeannie Hahn in the past here at Arizona Post, and I know Consul Ethics Board has used Jeannie Hahn in the past as well. So my motion would be to contract with her, Jeannie Hahn, to further refine the rules and create a document that which we'd be able to present to GERC.
So we do have the motion to move this process along using the rules writer based upon what we have, what Mr. Jacobs has put together on this. Do we have a second for that?
Hogarth, I'll second.
So we do have a first and a second. Is there actually, let me take it back as just to revisit the motion. Is there a proposed amount for that, Mr. Giordano? I don't have any experience with this, so you might have a better idea of the amount.
I would say it's less than $5,000 to have her work us through the entire process. The entire process takes about 9 months. It's very labor intensive, but since our rules are much shorter than the rules here at Arizona Post, I think it would be substantially less than 5,000, but I'd like to use 5,000 as a cushion.
Okay. So we did have the amendment to the motion to include the 5,000. All right. Do you second that, Mr. Hogard?
Yes, I second.
Okay. Do we have any further discussion? And I do have a question. I think this is more towards Mr. Giordano than it is to Mr. Jacobs. Previously, I remember in the discussion, Mr. Giordano, you had said that there was a move to make from the governor's office to make rules plain language and very clearly understandable. I would think that's still the case. Do you have any inclination if that is still the guidelines that are being looked at?
Sir, to my knowledge, under the previous administration, there was an executive order that prohibited rulemaking. To do so, you had to request an exemption. I am not aware that Governor Hobbs has extended that moratorium on rulemaking. I can definitely something that either Steve or I could look into. But yes, it always the previous administration was always about reducing rules to make them less burdensome. for the citizens of our state. But again, I don't know the direction of the new administration.
And I was just thinking, if we go through the process and we don't meet something that the that is necessary in order to move it forward, we'd be doubling our work on that. And that's the reason why I did ask that. So that that may be a good thing to look into for us, Mr. John. I'd appreciate that.
Absolutely, sir.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, so we do have a first and a second for $5,000 to enjoin the rulemaker in the process. Ms. Elnock, could we do a roll call on this, please?
Sure. Constable Hogard.
Aye.
Matt Giordano.
Aye.
Christine Shipley.
Aye.
Valerie Beckett.
Aye.
And Constable Kennedy.
Aye.
And Chairman Dowling.
Abstain, please.
Okay. All right. Motion passes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Thank you again, Mr. Jacobs, and thank you, board members, for taking a look at that. Ms. Elnock, administrative updates.
All right. I don't have much. I just am working on some year-end reporting that I have to do and mainly just follow up. I get a number of emails from DOA and CSB on some things that don't even apply to our agency, but I'm following up with those. And the Attorney General's office has asked me to have some forms completed regarding pair of evidence in that the Fox lawsuit. So I'm taking care of those things as well. Otherwise, I don't have anything unless you have anything for me.
I just have the question about the vacant seat we have. Have you heard anything on filling that spot, Ms. Unmarked?
No, I have not. And the knowledge I have, there are several hundred board and commission positions that have not been moved on yet by this new administration. So I will just keep following up with the boards and commissions contact and see if they're moving forward with anything.
But we have done our part, correct?
Well, there really isn't anything for us to do unless we know of someone that we can encourage to apply. They have to receive an application. The governor's office actually has to receive an application from someone who's interested in serving.
And actually, my question is more: Do we need to give them notice that there's a vacancy, just to let them know, or is that would be the part I think we would do? But you would know that better than I do.
I'll certainly. Well, when I make contact with them, I have contacted them in the past when this position became open. I'm not sure the means, we don't really have a means to advertise the open position. I'm not sure the best way to recruit or make the public aware that the position is open. But once someone applies, then the boards and commissions, the governor's office can review that application.
Thank you for helping me understand the process.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, I'm just trying to get an understanding. I've seen it sometimes where something might come open and nobody knows it's open. We're supposed to, tell some agency that it is open so that they could do their part. And I'm sure you did that. And I just wanted to clarify.
Right. Hmm. I'll follow up again to see if anyone has applied. That's the first step. Because this specific position, our board make up different entities appoint board members for this board. For the member of the public, it is strictly a governor appointment, and it has to be from someone who applies or a group of applications. And so until someone actually goes and applies, they can't just pick somebody out of the air. So we do, if there's anything the Constables Association could do to encourage or reach out to try and find somebody in the public who's interested in serving on the board and make application, that's always a good thing. If I'm aware of somebody who has actually applied, then I can actually follow up with the governor's office, with the boards and commissions rep there, and let them know we have someone who has applied who's interested in this board.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Unmox? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the future agenda and action items. There will be, we will have an item on the upcoming agenda regarding the Constable Deborah Martinez, and I need to reach out to Mr. Norris in order to have him on the agenda that day. So there will be an item for that. Is there anything else anybody would like to see on a future agenda?
Mr. Chairman, this is Matt. Reference the Deborah Martinez matter. Although Ben Norris is our conduit to the AG's office, I believe they have a different division that handles civil lawsuits. So it might be, if we reach out to Ben, maybe he can connect us with the team that will be representing the Consul Board in that lawsuit.
Yeah.
Do have those contact people. I have the names. They're the ones that have requested that I fill out the forms for protecting evidence. So I do have the list of folks from there. I can put you in touch with them, Dennis.
Right. And my thoughts exactly, Mr. Giordano. And yes, Ms. Amok, if you could advise me of that, and I will get that onto the next meeting agenda. Thank you. Anybody else have anything they feel that we should have on the next agenda? Okay, so moving on to I, I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chair, this is Constable Hogard. I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Okay, I got a first from Constable Hogard. Do we have a second?
I will second that.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Shipley. All those in favor of adjourning, please vote in the affirmative.
Aye.
Anybody in the negative? Okay, meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy this first month of summer, and we will get back together beginning of July. Thank you very much.